Father God, we thank you. We thank you. For you have not given us a spirit of fear, Lord, and we thank you for that. That we're not just children of you, Lord. We are led by you. We are sons and daughters. And Father, we glorify your name, and we just give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. For those who may have missed, as soon as you come in, I know we said the fourth song, but as soon as you come in, you can just lay your offering there because it'll be back there. So if you haven't given and you wanted to, it'll be back there. We're skipping that for the service. Amen. All right. Y'all ready for today? You miss me? No, you didn't. Y'all liked Isaiah. You didn't miss me. He did a good job. Did a very good job. Did y'all receive what he had to say? Amen. Today I'm going to talk about courageous. How important for us to be courageous in our everyday life. We got stuff going on in today's time that is just crazy. I don't know if you've seen it, if I posted on Instagram where a pastor, people came at a pastor's home, they were out in Australia and stuff, and some liberal protesters came asking for him, knocking on the door, cussing. It's all on camera and stuff. It's like, what is wrong with people? We just thank God for his protection over us. The Bible says that the enemy will come in one direction, but he will flee in seven. So we understand that's our covenant, right? That's our heritage as the saints of the Lord. You know, what Jesus has done for us, the obedience that he lived by, we call it a sacrifice. But he was the sacrificial lamb. Jesus was obedient to death. And obedience will always be greater than sacrifice. Saul found that out the hard way. If he would have done what God had told him to do, his line would have been established forever. But instead, he chose to make some sacrifices that benefited himself. And here's the thing. That's some things that we may do in our own personal lives. My wife, we may have made sacrifices, but we were obedient to the word of God on how we raised up our children. Because if we didn't, they would have been reckless. They wouldn't be here. You wouldn't see what happened last week if we weren't faithful to be obedient to the word of God. You know, the Bible says that, you know, because we had children, we know how teenagers will be. And my teenagers weren't rulers. They were pretty good. You know, the Bible says, but if you withhold correction from them, you actually hate them. You got to correct your children. Not every time. You understand what I'm saying? You don't have to go all out. But that's the thing. It's important to stay on top because sometimes you just got to nip that bud. You got to nip it in the bud. You got to steer them in the right direction. You got to steer them in the right friendships and relationships. These are things you're going to learn. Otherwise, you're going to learn the hard way. Don't drop them off at grandma and grandpa's. It's my time to be fun dad or fun papa. We're called to be courageous. And part of being courageous is being obedient to God. And sometimes that is not the most popular thing to do when we're courageous. That is not the most popular thing to come here to church. That is not the most popular thing to be obedient to his word, to stand on his word. That is not the popular thing to do. But in the end, you realize that you're going to be rooted in his word and standing firm. So when those storms do come in your life, it's just like, that's just spittle. It doesn't affect you. A lot of times in frustration, a lot of time what ends up happening, it just ends up making it a lot of time in frustration. And it could be saved if we listen and obey and do what the word says. And James says, to be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving ourselves, taking the word and applying it to our everyday lives. We apply this word to our everyday lives, the things that we listen to. We come here on Sunday, you're taking notes. We know to write down what the Lord is telling us through that. Not what I'm saying, but what the Lord is telling you. And then we apply those principles to our lives, our everyday lives, so we're just not living from Sunday to Sunday to Sunday to Sunday. If you want to follow Christ, you have to take up your cross daily. That's something we have to do. That's something we're called to do and something we're called to be obedient to. You know that the faith that God has given you, the measure of faith, mountain moving faith, everyone who is a born again believer has that in them. Everyone. So don't ever think of, don't think less of yourself. You have mountain moving faith. Even if you're just young and what have you, and you may not know much, you still have that faith to move mountains. Even if you've been beat down from your own spouse or from your own friends and own family, you still got mountain moving faith. Because it doesn't matter. You still got to flow with the way that God has called you to flow because you got that faith that is on the inside of you. Faith that will move mountains. But you still got to have the love, right? Because it doesn't matter. And the Bible says, and we know this in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, how it talks about love. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It does not keep a record of wrongdoing. It doesn't. Love is good. Love is the driving force on why we're living. But I love this. I keep going back to this, but I love it because it says, and these three things remain: faith, hope, and love. And he says the greatest of these is love. He says now eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially those that will edify the body of Christ. If you're truly walking in love, you're going to desire what God has for you. You're going to desire his gifts that he has given to you. Now, not everyone could be an apostle. Not everyone could be a prophet. Not everyone can be a teacher. Not everyone could operate in a ministry of helps. But guess what? Not everyone can work miracles. But you can if you believe in the name of Jesus. Come on now. We're going to talk about this. Y'all know what the greatest works are? When Jesus says, and those who believe in me, anyone who believes in me, in my name, they will do the same works that I do. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works as I do, and I will do even greater works. Does anyone know what the greater works are? I've heard several different versions of it. You're going to find out today what the greater works are. Amen? Come on. If you got your Bibles, open up to John 14, 12. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation, as always. Sometimes I'll mix it up a little bit. If you got the King James and New King James, just go ahead and roll on with it. He says, I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me, this is Jesus talking, will do the same works I have done and even greater works because I am going with the Father. Going to be with the Father. You can ask for anything in my name and I will do it so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for what? Anything in my name and I will do it. You can take that to the bank. Anytime you will see Jesus throughout the gospel saying, I tell you the truth, or verily, verily, I say unto thee. He's getting ready to blow your mind on the next statement that he's getting ready to make. You'll find that in Mark 11, 23. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, go back. I tell you the truth. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain. He's doubling down on what he's getting ready to say. And you know he ain't never lied. Jesus never lied. Why would he have to say, I tell you the truth? Man, listen, I'm not lying on this part right here. He never lied. So we can see that there's some importance in that when he's telling you, I tell you the truth. And we get some people, well, I don't really know. I don't really know if God is, if we're supposed to do this. He says, anyone who believes in me. What demons believe, they do. But they don't believe in the name of Jesus. They believe that there is one God. James 2:19, They believe that there's one God. They don't believe in the name of Jesus. They believe in the name of Satan. That's why they rebelled against God. God was the one who created them. All things were created by him and for him. So you're not a demon. They believe that there is one God and they tremble. Do you tremble at the name of Jesus? Do you tremble because there's one God? I don't. Because I'm not illegitimate. I'm a son. When you believe in the name of Jesus, you don't have to get scared of that. Because you have a relationship. He's your Lord. He's your Savior. You don't have to live in fear of Jesus, but you do have to have a fear of the Lord, of reverence and awe. Demons believe, who cares? Jesus said the gates of hell, they belong to the gates of hell. The gates of hell will not be able to prevail against you. He's under your feet. And so we got to make sure that when we're talking about the nine fruits of the Spirit, we don't exchange it for passivity and niceness. Because you can get away with that. When you're flowing how Jesus flowed here on earth, same as you. He didn't tolerate stuff. Don't raise your hand. But how many would make a whip? Flip over tables. If you were told to. How many can actually do that? And he did that out of love. See, love isn't always mushy and, you know, rainbows and stuff. Like it isn't always like that. Love is correction. And in the book of Revelation, you see Jesus correcting the church that he loves. He's rebuking them, but at the same time, if they listen to that, if they're obedient to what he is saying, there's rewards. Obedience will always be greater than sacrifice. You got to stay obedient to God. I wasn't obedient to God. I was up there to a point and I didn't. Hospital. I open up the door. I'm obedient now. I will stay obedient. Regardless of who comes against me. Regardless of who says what. I'm the only one who speaks for my marriage. Nobody else do. And a lot of people like to do that. But I speak for my marriage. About to have her stand up, she probably wouldn't stand up. But guess what? Your wife is a reflection of how you treat her. If she looked good, she got her hair done, nails done, makeup on, feet pedicured, ain't got no corns and junk going on. Listen, because she has time to do that if that's the case. She's a reflection of how you treat her. If you treat her well, she isn't going to look like she's ran down. And if your wife looks ran down, it's because you've been mentally, spiritually, emotionally, verbally, and physically beating on her, beating her down constantly. She's a reflection. You don't have to say, here, babe, go fix yourself up. She would have the confidence to do that already. Come on, amen or oh me. Is that the saying? I heard that a long time ago. I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in the name of Jesus. Jesus preached, he demonstrated, he fed the multitudes of people with little resources. He healed many people. He cast out demons. He made disciples, was obedient to the Father. Miracles, signs, and wonders followed him. The works that I do, there are other works because Isaiah had talked about it last week. There are other works. But Jesus says the works that I do, you would do. If you what? Starts with the B. Believe. You can say it. You have to believe. That's so important. That's all he requires us to do is to believe in the name. That's not hard to do. But sometimes the enemy will guilt trip us for believing in the name of Jesus. Well, who do you think you are? See, people say, I heard this expression too. You can't blame everything on the enemy. No, some of it is your fault. But here's the thing. You give the enemy an inroad into your life. And here's another thing. You may have the enemy under your feet, but somebody else may not. So the spirit that you're operating in, it is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities. See? He's under your feet, but he's not under this person's feet that's trying to come against other people. So it is the enemy behind that. The thing is not to be passive, not to be nice. Niceness is not a fruit. Some people want you to be nice to their nasty. I'm not nice. I could be kind. I could be gentle. I could be loving. I could be compassionate. I could be caring. I can also be correcting. You correct all the time. Yeah, because it was wrong. You know, I wouldn't say growing up playing basketball, there's an expression. You got to remain coachable. You got to remain to be coachable. Right? You got to be coachable. Because if you ain't going to be coachable, ain't nobody going to let you play. Nobody's going to allow you to get on the floor, on a court, get on the field because you're not coachable. You're just going around doing your own thing. And we don't have that kind of independence, that independency in the body of Christ in that sense. We have the freedom to do whatever it is we want to do, but we're not free from the consequences of what we do. Galatians 6, 7, and 8 says, do not be mocked. Do not be deceived. For God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, he will reap. And the one who sows to please the sinful nature from that nature will reap destruction. And the one who sows to please the Spirit, please the Spirit will reap eternal life. Please the Spirit, not the flesh. Because you can't complain about it when it happens. God is saying, these are my laws. Spiritual laws of sowing and reaping, and you can't get out of the reaping part. And a lot of people try to. That's why we want you to do good. That's why the word of God is used for correction, rebuking, teaching, training up in righteousness so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped to do what? Every good work. That's why we do it. Because there's different works for us. But I'm talking about the works that Jesus had demonstrated because you don't realize that everyone can flow into miracles. But that's not my ministry. I don't have a ministry of working miracles. But yet, if you believe in the name of Jesus, you shall. See, I'm not a prophet, but I could be prophetic at times. I'm not a miracle worker, but God has done some miracles through me. Come on, we're going to read something. It's going to be so good. The works, the labors that he has done, he said, when you will be able to do these things when you believe. And for some reason, that tends to scare people off. We just can't sit there and be all therapeutic towards everybody and just talk. Jesus didn't talk to demons all day long. The longest conversation he had was with Legion. Now you got people asking for your phone number. Why are you here? Well, we need to do a 2-hour survey and stuff and gain all this information. Be out. Be healed. Be delivered. Get out of them. I cast you out in the name of Jesus. It doesn't take very long. And we want to have conversations with them. I guarantee you, mental institutions, they need to be told the truth. They didn't hear the truth. They believed the lie. They got to the place to where they were questioning their own reality. And they need the truth. And people are just there, you know, just therapy over and over and over and over. I once watched a video like some guy said, he talked to some therapist. How long have you been in therapy? About 11, 12 years, what have you? Have you helped anyone? No. One that was about 20 years, and they said probably one person. But the blood of Jesus will help you out. The blood of Jesus will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. The blood of Jesus will heal you of every sickness and every disease. It's a finished work. And all we have to do is believe and we have a problem? No, God can't do this to me. Stop it. And nobody in here going to be powerless. You will never live a powerless life as long as I'm up here. That's for everyone. You are not going to live a powerless life. I will not allow you to do it. God can't do that. Stop that talk. We have a woman here who, I'm talking, Trina, how old are you? If you don't mind me asking. 69. She cleans. And she cleans well. But see, even God can work miracles through her. Ministry of Helps. God can work miracles through you. Even you, Brian. Good game. See, you don't have to ask the devil, why are you here? Why? We know why the enemy comes. The thief comes what? To do what? See, you ain't have to ask all those questions. I was told a young man that we had delivered some demons out of, so to speak, or what have you. I said, he's still doing well. They say he's paying attention, doing his work, stuff like that. It's like, he's doing well. I'm going to get on your grandson. Hey, you're supposed to be here. We talked. But he's doing well. See, this is what God wants for you. Don't you give up on your family. Don't you give up on your call. Don't you give up on what he's called you to do. You might think it's insignificant, but it is not. Every person has a gift that God has given him. And even with that gift, he can still work miracles and wonders through you. If you've led somebody to Jesus, that's the greatest miracle ever. Okay. He gonna get into the nitty gritty. Just do a word study on I tell you the truth throughout the Gospels. Jesus means what he says. As believers, we should never, ever take the word of God lightly. His word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. When my kids were growing up, I couldn't afford to put this down at times. I couldn't afford to put this down. My wife and I, we were working 3 jobs apiece. And we were still faithful to come more than just once a month. I can't believe that is regular attendance in church today. Once a month? 12 times out of 52? That's crazy. How many times did you go to the buffet? How many times did you go to the ball game? How many times did you go to the lake? How many times did you go to Walmart? I don't even go to Walmart anymore. We just deliver, basically. My wife does that. It's been a long time. Too many weird people. Good night. It's almost like you got to... Good night. It's like you're on a Men in Black movie or something. But we were going 3 out of 4. And there were some Sundays we had to split up where I had to be here. And then she took his to sports. But if it wasn't for that faithfulness and the obedience of what God is calling us to do, they wouldn't be here. Daughter and her husband going to a good church out there. We have to lay down the foundation. You have to do that with your children. And if you've been doing it, keep it up. And then people wonder, why is it your kids are so well behaved? We raise them up with this. Are they perfect? You know, they still like LeBron James. That should tell you something right there. Oh, I got to throw that. so we don't ever submit to the troubles, the trials, and tribulations. We have to understand it's not from God. It's from the world. And if you think it's from God, see, this is when we'll be passive in our faith. If we think that negative things are coming in our life as God, we won't ever resist it. And then it'll just have its way with us. And I had a conversation with a lady years ago, and I shared this before, but she thought that all of the stuff, I like that, but she thought that all of the stuff that was coming against her was from God. And she wanted me to pray for her. I said, I can't do that. Number one, I'm not going to win. I'll be coming against God. I'll be coming against his work. But I will tell you this. If you believe that this stuff is from the enemy, and it is, then we can get in agreement and we can come against this thing. But if you believe all the evil, all the junk that is coming against you is from God, I can't help you. My hands are tied. I won't even do it. I'll look the other way and act like I don't even know you. I can't do anything for you. But what I can do is we can just twist and not twist, but change your theology and understand that the thief comes to steal, kill, destroy. Jesus came that we may have life and have it more abundantly. Put them in those categories. Whatever comes to steal, to kill, and destroy in your life from Satan. Everything good is from God. But that doesn't mean that everything good God wants you to have. They grabbed that fruit. It looked good. But he told them not to have it. Told them not to eat it. But it was good. And that was the fall of man, doggone it. The enemy doesn't want you flowing the power that God has given you. At all. So we got to be mindful of the things that might creep into to different philosophies, different circles and stuff. I was told years ago because God was flowing through me. I'm talking about flowing through me, getting results like no other. And they were trying to stop it. And I had a couple of people tell me, it's not about chasing after the miracle signs and wonders, but it's about preaching the gospel to the poor and taking care of the orphans and the widows. That's straight out of the pit of hell. Because number one, I wasn't chasing. Miracles follow. And preaching the gospel to the poor, you know where we're that taken out of? When John the Baptist called out King Herod. And he was in prison. And then he sent his disciples to go and ask Jesus if he's the one to come or shall we wait for another? And then Jesus tells his disciples, John's disciples, he says, go and tell John what you see and what you hear. The blind eyes are open, the lame walk, the mute talk, the dead are raised, and the gospel is preached to the poor. So what were they giving me? The gospel preached to the poor. They did away with the miracles. That's straight out of the pit of hell. We preach and we demonstrate. Preach and we demonstrate. We preach and we demonstrate. I didn't get my handshakes before service. I forgot. He said that you will do even greater works because I'm going to the Father. See, James was the one who made the statement, true religion is taking care of the orphans and the widows. But James wasn't the one who commissioned us. Jesus did. And here's a little hint. The greater works are in the Great Commission. Taking care of the orphans and the widows, that's good. But here's the thing. Taking care of the orphans is not sex trafficking. It's not human trafficking. It's not doing any of that. And taking care of the widows is not trying to butter them up so that you can marry them and stuff. I'll say, hey, we taking care of them, all right. That ain't what he's talking about. You got to take care of their needs, not that need, not the XCX need and the money need, but they have needs. Jesus fed 5,000 people. Food distribution is not the greater works. and giving food to people. He fed 5,000 people. And here's the thing. That was just counting the men. They didn't talk about the women. And if they had children, that's at least 15,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish. But that was a work. He's talking about the greater. Turn over to Acts 6, verse 1 through 8. It says, but as the believers rapidly multiplied, there were rumblings of discontent. The Greek-speaking believers complained about the Hebrew-speaking believers, saying that their widows were being discriminated against in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 called a meeting of all the believers. They said, we apostles should spend our time teaching the word, not running a food program. So which one did they actually put greatness to? The word, not the food program. Not to negate that wasn't any, not to take that lightly, but the food program wasn't as important as teaching the word to them. They were apostles, right? Because you have to understand that the office of an apostle, that is a ministry gift. Helps is another gift. They weren't in helps. They were apostles. And so, brothers, select 7 men who were well-respected and are full of spirit and wisdom. We will give them this responsibility. Then we apostles can spend our time in prayer and teaching the word. Everyone liked this idea. And they chose the following, Stephen and 6 other guys, right? But Stephen was a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. Now, how do you get full of faith and be full of the Holy Spirit? You have to be what? Well, you have to be in the word, but you have to be, how do you get filled with the Holy Spirit? You have to be filled. You have to have the infilling of the Holy Spirit. If you are full of the word and full of the Holy Spirit, you can do some things. But that's why the enemy wants you on empty. Stephen was full of the word, and he's just helping out, handing out boxes, some oranges and stuff and what have you. I said, distributing food to the widows. You may not think that's a glamorous job, but guess what? He was full of faith, and he was full of the Holy Spirit. It says, these 7 were presented to the apostles who prayed for them as they laid their hands on them. So God's message continued to spread. The number of believers greatly increased in Jerusalem. Check that out. How did God's message continue to spread? Because they chose to devote themselves to the teaching of the word. And the number of believers, one version says, the number of disciples greatly increased. Because they wasn't spending their time trying to do a food distribution. They were making disciples. You can underline that. And many of the Jewish priests were converted too. Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, performed amazing miracles, signs among the people. Yeah. Distributing food, doing amazing miracles, signs and wonders. Cleaning the floor, but still doing amazing miracles, signs, and wonders. Mowing the grass, 0 turn, but still doing amazing miracles, signs, and wonders. Why? Because they were full of faith, full of God's grace, and full of power. That word power is dunamis. It's miraculous power. It's the ability to get results. You all have that in you. If you're full of faith and you're full of power, why do you think the enemy wants to get you in a doubt? You can't keep him under here. You got to be full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit. And you can't get full of the Holy Spirit if you can't be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, how do you be filled with the Holy Spirit? So that's the next thing. Singing psalms and spiritual songs. It's not loading up on junk. I know you may like that music. I know you may like some George Strait. Where the sidewalk ends and the road begins. But that is not being filled up with the Holy Spirit. You're running on fumes and niceness. That doesn't cut it. Why? When the enemy is coming against your family, that doesn't cut it. He wants you, God wants you full of faith, full of the Holy Spirit. Why? So you can just get out of here. That ain't no thing but a chicken wing. You like that, huh? He can't touch you. We're not called to live a passive life. Greater works. We're getting there. Matthew 15. Jesus. It says, then Jesus left Galilee, went north to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Gentile woman who lived there came to him pleading, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David, for my daughter is possessed by a demon that torments her severely. But Jesus gave her no reply, not even a word. Then his disciples urged him to send her away. Tell her to go away, they said. She is bothering us with all her begging. Here's the Messiah, Jesus Christ, the anointed one. Christ is not his last name. It's who he is. And he's walking by a woman, a Samaritan woman in your Bible, if you haven't. Syrophoenician. He's walking right by her. He's healed many of people, and he's walking right by her. And they're saying, send her away. And Jesus says to the woman, I was sent only to help God's lost sheep, the people of Israel. Now, if you continue to read, he helps the woman. Well, she actually received her healing for her daughter because of her great faith. Now we're going to get to the greater work. Y'all ready? Matthew 28:18-19 says, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. In your Bible, it might say power. After all, there is, how much is left? None. If you took all the bacon in the morning, there's none left. If you used up all the hot water, there's none left. You're going to have to wait for it to refill. There is none left. It's been given to Jesus. All. He says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Go back to verse 19, please. Did you see it? The greater work? Do you see it? Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. That's the greater work. Baptizing them. Because Jesus was only sent to the lost sheep of Israel. He can only make disciples of one nation. Now we're able to make disciples of all nations. So basically what he did in Israel, take it and duplicate it to the world. That's the greater works. Making the disciple part. And he says in John 8:31-32, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We don't stop reading the word. Continue in the word. No, you don't have to walk around with the thing on blinders and stuff, and that's just good, and just bumping into everything. There's a balance. But we don't put the world's opinions or other people's opinions over what God's word says. All you have to do is believe. Believe in the name of Jesus. It's a finished work. You want miracles to flow through you? Get yourself full of faith. So that means all of that doubt and unbelief, you got to empty it out. Get it out. It ain't worth it. All that stuff that's on the news, it ain't worth it. It's just going to trigger you. Get you mad. Get you upset. Get you talking to the TV, acting like you're black. Y'all know black people talk to TVs, right? We talk. We do that. Dexter, do you do that? Sometimes you, I know we all, that this is a universal thing. We all talk to TV when it comes to our games and teams and stuff. What are you doing? Can't get this thing on. Good gracious. But we're called to believe in the name of Jesus. All authority has been given to him. But the miracles only stop when we believe, when we stop believing, and we are not full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit. Living a powerless life is not an option for the sons and daughters. See, we talk about being a child of God, a child of God. We have to graduate and be that son and daughter of God, because those are the ones who are led by the Spirit of God. And all of creation is waiting for the manifestations of the sons of God. Time to stand up and take your place, because you can't be passive in what's going on right now. You can't be quiet on what's going on right now. You're going to have to do what God has called you to do. If you were raised up to be a peacekeeper, well, we're just going to graduate you up to being a peacemaker, because peacemakers will stand up against the trouble that's coming against those who are defenseless. Children who are defenseless, who get strangled by their mother. You got to stand up for that and not be afraid to talk. That was wrong. That was evil. I don't give a doggone how much medication she was on. That doesn't justify it. Common sense would tell you, those are my own kids. But this is why we need to be full of the faith, full of the Holy Spirit, so that those demons, through that medication and stuff, can be rebuked out of that body. You can't be afraid to talk. Well, they're going to say this about me. Let them. They're not going to like what I say. Who gives a rip? They're not going to like you. Thank you. You know, your haters, everybody, people will have haters. But here's the thing. I said, you got to pray for haters, because haters don't really like you. They just like themselves. So thank your haters, because if it wasn't for your haters, it wouldn't have brought out what God had put on the inside of you. You got to have some opposition. Sooner or later, you're going to get tired of scrimmaging. We want to get to the game, man. And I'm letting you know, the game is every single day. Every single time you wake up in the morning, the game is on. Put your gear on. Put your armor on. Even though the battle is already won, God still tells us, put on your battle, put on your armor. There's work for you to do too. And after you put on your full armor of God, you continue to pray in the Spirit on all occasions. I don't believe in that tongue stuff. I listen to a lot of people talk about tongues on podcasts. I shut it off. That those that don't line up with the word, I shut it off. You got that 1 Corinthians 1? It says here, all of you together are Christ's body. Each of you is a part of it. Here are some of the parts God has appointed for the church. First, our apostles. Second, our prophets. Third, our teachers. Then those who do miracles. Those who have the gifts of healing. Those who can help others. Those who have the gift of leadership. Those who speak in unknown tongues. Are we all apostles? Are we all prophets? These are all no's, actually, to these. because we're not all apostles. Are we all teachers? Do we all have power to do miracles? Do we all have the gift of healing? Do we all have the ability to speak in unknown languages? Do we all have the ability to interpret unknown languages? Of course not. Paul answers it for us. So you should earnestly desire the most helpful gifts, but now let me show you a way of life that is best of all. Then he goes in chapter 13, or what have you. Well, all can't work miracles. You can if you believe in the name of Jesus, but you might be in the ministry of helps. It's not a contradiction. That's just their ministry. The gift of healing is just their ministry gift. But you can still flow in it when you believe in the name, because he said, anyone who believes in me, the works I do, you shall do also. Don't allow anyone to talk you out of a powerless life because they're trying to get you on their level. You got to stay up here. You're the cream of the crop. You're not scraping the barrel anymore. When you come into the kingdom, you're at the top. So don't think less of yourself. Please don't. That's everyone can flow in that. My wife got gifts. I got to protect that. I got to protect that. Richard, you got gifts. It may not be to prophesy, a prophet or apostle, but you have gifts. Cannot God do miracles through you? Yeah. What do you have to do? I've been teaching on this. Come on. Believe in the name. There you go. See, he got it. He was just being shy. Well, I just do worship. So did I. I clean the toilets. Again, flush, please. Please, flush. Did all that. But as long as you believe in the name of Jesus, it won't stop you. As long as you're full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit, stay filled with the Holy Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Build yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. That's a good thing. But guess what? Get into the Word too. I believe Brother Hagin said you shouldn't be praying more in the Spirit than you are reading the Word. Why? Because you're praying the perfect will of the Father over your life, over your situation, over other people. And I'm telling you, there is no more beautiful sound than the Holy Spirit being sang in a congregation. You talk about angelic. It is awesome. So if you've been dealing with some doubt in your life, if the enemy's been beating you down, I want you to know it's over with for the enemy. It's over with him having control over your life. We come against that right now in the name of Jesus. Today, we come against that. And you keep him under your feet. Today, we come against that. He will not have your family. He will not have that sickness does not dwell in your household. Healing does. Rebellion does not dwell in your household. Obedience do. You got to stop saying, well, they're just teens. They're just this. They're just that. No, they're just children of God that need some guidance, and you need to speak life over them and on every situation. I'm telling you, it's going to change for you. I don't even know the stuff that I've been praying in the Spirit over my family over the years, but I'm seeing the fruit of it. Don't you dare back down. You got to be courageous. Don't be afraid to speak a word. If God has given you a word, you may not be a prophet, but you could be prophetic. Avoid those meaningless arguments. Are you Armenian and all that? What? That's just people who want to show off what they know. And all of it does is just lead you to just a bunch of other junk. Ain't got no power whatsoever. Nah. You got to have the power, and you also got to have the character. But make sure it's truly the fruit of the Spirit and not niceness and passivity. Love. That joy. That peace. That long-suffering, that gentleness, that patience. You got to have those things. Women, ladies, wives. If you got into your marriage to be happy, you got in it for all the wrong reasons. You should have gotten to that marriage to be whole. She completes me. You complete each other. You're not whole until you have your wife. And you're looking for happiness. And you don't have to go out to the bars and doing all this other stuff and trying to get your husband and wife or whatever the case may be, two-stepping. I'm trying to find my, listen, just pray about it. Because you'll be doing that, you'll be looking for love in all the wrong places. Looking for love in all the wrong places. You make sure your relationship with Jesus is pure and is holy. Amen. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for today. We thank you, Lord, that we can live a life of courage for you, Lord. We thank you that we're not going to back down in the power that you have given us, the anointing that is flowing through us, Lord. We thank you for being able to impact this city and impact this nation, Lord. And we will stand on the truth regardless of what side it is on. We want your side in the name of Jesus, Lord. And we just thank you and we give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.